What's good, everybody? I'm Justin Miller, host and owner of the Legends of Athletics podcast. Welcome to another episode. You guys are awesome. Thank you for your support and thank you for the support that you've given us over this time, over the years, and even up to this point in the episode. You guys have helped us grow instrumentally online and in social media. We have seen great growth on our Instagram accounts, as well as on Facebook and YouTube and TikTok. And we are across all platforms, but we have seen great growth in those areas. And without you guys, it is not possible. But with that, I want to take time before we get too deep into this podcast to give a special shout out to the school that I have on me today, Patrician Academy. You see the big P, Patrician Academy Saints in Butler, Alabama. Those people are great people. Those are God's people, seriously. But they have been nothing but instrumental to the growth of Legends of Athletics and welcoming us into a new area. And, you know, you never know who you're going to run into. You never know how your prayers will be answered. And you don't know how you will get to the goals and the dreams you have set before yourself whenever you're praying for those things. But I will say that it's great. It's awesome, especially as a sports performance coach, to have coaches who believe in your program and what you do, but also have people who believe in you and what you do more so than that. And so I want to give a special shout out to them and the head coach out there, Coach Lindsay. They have a great program, great students, great kids, a great group of people. And I couldn't be more proud to wear them and associate myself with them. And let's get to a little housekeeping, right? So, of course, we got to take care of that. I ask you guys to do one thing for me on this podcast. It's free. Right now, we don't have any sponsors, but I ask for you guys to help be a sponsor in this area, right? I say, can you go to our social media pages and follow and like Legends of Athletics? Or can you share this with a friend and tell a friend and tell a friend that Legends of Athletics has a brand new episode? Because as you guys listen to this episode, like, rate, comment, and share this podcast, it helps us move up in the rankings. Of course, we're shooting this and we're representing for Mississippi, and we're shooting this podcast right now. We have a small studio, and as you guys help us move up in the ranks, we're able to do more for you. And so that's the only thing that I ask whenever you listen to this podcast, just make sure to tell somebody to tell somebody. And with that, I will be forever grateful for you and for your support and your loyalty in helping us reach that goal. So let's talk about a few things. I want to talk to you guys about, how do you train as a multi-sport athlete to be better at your sports as you go throughout the school year? This is a challenge for most kids. It's a challenge for a lot of coaches, because when you have these kids that are not under your care or your supervision 24/7, it makes for a difficult task getting them prepared for each sport and the demands of each sport, especially when we think about the demands of football versus basketball versus track and field versus softball versus baseball. We're asking for five different things. In football, we need size and mass and aggression and strength and acceleration skills. In basketball, we need to be more skillful with great footwork. We don't accelerate as much, and we don't need the muscle mass as much in playing the sport of basketball. We just need relative strength. In track, we need to be good accelerators, but we don't need to carry the same mass that we carry playing football. And so we're asking for so many different things. How does an athlete, how does a coach navigate training and teaching this athlete the best they can with what the resources that they have and the time that they have? I will tell you this, it's not an easy task, but I'm going to try to help you as best as I can. I want to bring value to you guys in a way that you can use practically what we're talking about. So if you have a multi-sport athlete, the best thing you can do is work on this athlete's strengths. And then you can just work with maintaining the athlete and building transferable skills across the board. And so what does that look like? In the weight room, skills such as explosive exercises, dynamic exercises, and relative strength, that translates across the board. We're not talking about hypertrophy. We're not talking about gaining muscle size. We're not talking about cutting. We're just talking about maintaining. And then with on the track or the field, just really focusing on acceleration. Every sport, even in basketball that doesn't require it as much, every sport can take some sort of acceleration training to help them be better athletes. I'm not talking about top speed. I'm not talking about speed maintenance. I'm not talking about speed endurance. I'm talking about acceleration training. These are things that translate across the board. Now, whenever you train this athlete, what you don't want to do is you don't want to create a lot of lag time between recovery, between sports, and between the activities that they are demanded to do daily and what their body is demanded to do day in and day out. And so we want to try to eliminate and we want to try to alleviate as much stress. We want to try to alleviate as much muscle soreness and fatigue as we can. The athlete is probably not going to get, and you can see this in one of the clips that I have of a podcast I did previously with Coach Beckham from Mississippi State University. An athlete, nine times out of 10, is not going to get 8 hours of sleep, not 7 hours, probably more like 5 to 6. And so we have to work around those stressors and work around those hormone changes and things like that that this athlete is experiencing. And so this goes for male and female athletes. And so what we want to do is we want to work on maintaining, like I said, building explosive power and strength. And then once we get to a mode of like the summer or something where we have more time and this athlete is not being asked to go to class, they're not being asked to do a lot of the other stressors or deal with a lot of the other stressors, then we can go into more like hypertrophy training or adding muscle and size. But even with that, we have to be realistic in how much size we can ask this athlete to gain. It'll probably be somewhere in 5 pound increments, honestly, is what they probably be able to handle and hold on to throughout going from season to season and sport to sport. And that's just because of conditioning demands, time that's allotted to the sport, and just being realistic. It's nothing if we're being honest to say that the athlete probably will not have to condition as much for one sport as they will for the sport that's currently in play. So I've seen this happen where some coaches will ask an athlete that plays basketball to also do the football conditioning just because that's just an exercise and a power. And it's not really advantageous to the athlete because that athlete is going to be fatigued, build up a lot of lactic acid. That's like that burning sensation of muscles and fry the central nervous system because of what they're being demanded and asked to do day in and day out. Now, you can will yourself through it, but that's really not a smart way long term to go about it, because then once that central nervous system is fried and it stays in that state that's lower than optimal, then we probably get some movement compensation patterns building up, and then we get up to a point where the athlete is at a high risk for injury just because of what's being asked and demanded day in and day out. And so, you know, you want to keep that in mind too. The other thing is when we get to the weight room, again, we are taking hypertrophy off the table. And so when I'm talking about maintaining strength and maintaining size, that's just basically doing, I still wouldn't go above a 5 to 6 rep scheme, but we're not doing anything where we're doing a lot of eccentric loading. We're not doing anything or excessive eccentric loading. Now there is a point that we need as eccentric loading to make the athlete better, but we won't excessively go into eccentric loading just because eccentric loads, continuously just what they're doing is breaking the muscle down. And by breaking that muscle down, we are going to make the athletes more sore because the muscle has to repair itself. So we have to be smart in that arena, asking that athlete to do a lot of eccentric loading. And so in the weight room, like I said, you can do a lot of banded work. You can do a lot of dynamic work. And really you will want to stay within that 60 to 70%, one rep max on your big lifts. And I will probably go no higher than 80%. And as that athlete gets more conditioned, you may be able to go above that, but I would probably say 80% is that maximum. And you really have to look at too, what is the athlete's schedule, right? So if I know that this athlete, I use case in point, what the kids I got now, if I get a workout in with this athlete at 1:30 and they have a game at 6 p.m., realistically, we'll get done with a workout. Let's make it an even hour. So we get done with the workout at 2:30. So they got 3:30, 4:30, 5:30. You got 4.5 hours to recover until game time. Now, if I'm doing something that is going to be, basically like if I'm priming a system through weight training before the game, that's one thing. But if I'm asking the demands of another sport to get back, like, let's say I'm trying to get better for basketball, but then I got to play a football, a soccer game. Like, I have to take into account what I can and what I cannot do. That would probably be more than likely a better upper body day, be a better day for explosiveness and not a high demand for leg drive or acceleration training. If I work with that same athlete at 8 a.m., now we're done at 9 a.m. So I got from 9 a.m., I got 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So I have 9 hours of time in between to recover for that athlete to recover and be ready and prepare for their game later that afternoon. I still would not attempt to go and do leg exercises just because of the demand. I still wouldn't do acceleration training per se because of the demand. Now, if I was going to do anything with acceleration, I may do some dribble drills. I may do some mocks. I may do some just acceleration drill work, wall runs, things like that are not high demand. So I wouldn't go into anything that's doubles and triples or broad jumps that require double broad jumps, triple broad jumps, single leg, things like that, even in the plyometric space, because people may not believe this, but sprinting, max effort plyometrics have the same CNS demands that lifting heavy weights do. So you still don't want to get into where you're playing with fire by playing with that CNS system too much before game time or anything that requires them to be at max potential or 100%. And so that's just kind of the way that I would go about structuring it. Like I said, and I'll say this again, it's a couple things I would do, and that is maintain the strength, not go above at absolute once we're trained, not go above 80% of the one rep max. And I would just be aware of the training schedule, because those three things are very key and very pivotal. I think a lot of times us as coaches, we forget that these athletes are human beings. And even though we have them under our care, they have other things to do. And this goes to another episode, another podcast episode idea that we have for later. It's also knowing how to structure your programming, because I see coaches too that say they're coaching speed, but you have an athlete who essentially does acceleration training 3 to 4 days a week, and that's really just unnecessary to a lower level athlete. As that athlete gets more in shape, you can go maybe 3 days max, but for true acceleration training, but you know, training that every day doesn't make sense. So when I'm talking about that, that's and this is just to be brief about it, but when I'm talking about that, I'm saying an athlete who plays football is already accelerating. If they got practice, padded practice, if they have padded practice, they're already accelerating. If they play a combo position or a wide receiver running back position, they're already accelerating. We're going to say 20 to 30 times in a day. So it's no point in you coming back in a private session and doing more acceleration work. And that's just being common sense about it. That's just being smart about it. And so I hope this podcast is able to help someone. I hope it's able to paint a clearer picture, and I hope that it's something that you can add into your repertoire and even just hold on to. If you don't have any athletes like that, or you don't have a child like that, and if you're not one of those athletes, just hold on to it, because it may be beneficial for someone else. And so if you like the content, don't forget to like, subscribe. Like my stuff, subscribe, go visit legendsofathletics.com, buy something from me, buy a t-shirt, support like I'm supporting Patricia. And so y'all go get something, and until next time, as always, be legendary.